Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
I'm Molly Malshine, and we're gathered here to talk about Kirstie Alley, an icon of both of our childhoods, I think, probably.
Absolutely.
And a level 7 operating Thetan.
Absolutely.
According to recently leaked Scientology documents. So, ahead of time, let's just say sorry if we sound weird. Every single thing for recording podcasts is bad. The microphones are bad. The software is bad.
Yeah, if anybody has any like recommendations for remote recording softwares, we're open. If we were in a studio together, it might be the only way that this would sound the level that you guys deserve audio quality wise. But thanks for bearing with us through this guess and check sort of Mars retrograde period.
Yeah. Also, I have to say, there is no way Meghan Markle's meeting all of these plebs in studio. So they're I want to know what Meggie's using. Because that's got to be the industry standard.
Well, but it's also highly likely that one of their 12 Montecito bedrooms has turned into a recording studio.
Right. But there's no way she's inviting, the inauguration poet there to do slam
right,
poetry.
True.
On mic.
It's sort of a shame that we don't have that much time because I also am kind of dying to talk about, I guess the show will come out and then we can talk about it. But I just want to say the body language bodies. Did you watch the link I sent you? He trashes the trailer and it's so fun.
No, I didn't watch it.
It's
okay.
Really funny.
For people who don't know, the body language body is Jesus Enrique Rojas.
Jesus Enrique Rojas. He's like an informal sponsor and doesn't even know it of the space. We talk about him. We probably have talked about him more than anybody else on this podcast consistently. We love him and hate him, but love him.
Yes, he is a body language psycho. He hates Meghan Markle and he hates Amber Heard. And he explains why through body language, except he never gets to the point and he never explains anything. He just talks about how they are probably on the sociopathic spectrum because they wrinkled one eye a little bit at the wrong moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Right.
You know who had immaculate body language? Kirstie Alley.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she's such a controversial figure because I guess from what we've learned about Scientology, although neither Molly nor I have ever dabbled in the Scientologic arts, but I feel like learning that someone's like a real deal, like to the grave Scientologist is one of those like womp, 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 womp kind of things. But other than the fact that I don't even know, do we know what level 7 Thetan means?
No.
Right. So,
and it's high though. Well, it's so high. One of the things that people were saying about her, and the reason, by the way, that I said she has immaculate body language is because I saw her in person one time.
Well, that's the thing. So that's what I was going to say, too. Like, she, aside from this weird, like, you know, her religious or literary religious sect that she's a part of, I fucking love her. And I think she's an elegant, radiant goddess. And she's one of those people that, like, even in her, like, most cracked out or most, I guess, I don't know if you can say that, but even in her most like drug addled or like obese states, she was still like, and it's in her chart, we'll talk about it, but like, she's still so like sexy and attractive somehow.
Yes.
Like, she never lost her cool. She's one of the coolest of all time, just objectively.
Magnetic. Just like, so cool. I saw her in
so
Park.
So cool.
Park Restaurant in Philadelphia, which is, you know, the Carbone of Philly. It's the Beverly Hills Hotel of Philly, really. You always see people there, like Kendall Jenner and Cory Booker. No, Devin, whatever. allegedly they hung out there. Like
Cory Booker.
Yeah, Cory Booker. I mean,
wouldn't that be an amazing rumor to start? Cory Booker's now with Kendall Jenner. I love that. They're all getting into politics.
It's in the realm of possibility. TBH. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Unfortunately. So I saw her there with Maxim Shmerkovsky when she was right after she was on Dancing with the Stars, which do you think they actually had an affair? Because they weren't on the show anymore. I think she was in town for a QVC thing and they were together with a huge entourage at Park and she was lighting the place up like a fucking sad lamp. I'm telling you, she was like a loomy phone case, just beams of light shooting out of her skin across the entire restaurant. Like she was luminous and stunning. Do you think they banged?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I do think that, like, being on Dancing with the Stars is a way to, like, for a man and a woman, or at least, or same sex, but, like, I think it's a way that people that would generally bang may actually forge a sincere adult friendship without it being sexual, because the whole thing is so, I mean, it's so intimate to do Dancing with the Stars and to have a partner. And so I don't know if I think they, I would need to look at his chart, I guess, but like they definitely did have a suspiciously long-term, very close relationship that we all knew about. I like to think they banged just because I love a little sack action after a big dance show, but I don't know. I think it's highly possible that they didn't. I mean, when you do hear, what I do know is like, she'll talk about her like deep love for Swayze and Travolta, both of which she like kissed and had said, like she said on Big Brother, like she wanted to have like hardcore affairs with both of them and that she's still in love with Travolta, but that ultimately she respects marriage and she would never want to actually engage in an extramarital affair on either side, no matter what. So is Maxim married? Remind me.
Yeah, he's married to another pro now. He was single when this was going on. And the other thing about Dancing with the Stars is, you know, they are like kind of all flirting with danger by going on there, because if you have the chemistry and the flirtation, the people root for you more. And if you're married, not married, I think they were both single at the time, so it was like fair game. And they were definitely stoking the flames. And like they were, I don't think they were, there's no way they were contractually obligated to go to this restaurant in Philly together. Do you know what I mean? Like that was not a PR stunt. So maybe they just became friendly. Well, no, who knows?
I think they were sincerely close. Like I think they were showing up in public together. I don't know if it was for PR or if they were just like proud of the work that they did and their newfound friendship. But like, yeah, they definitely were close. And I guess that's just sort of, you know, can men and women be friends?
Yeah. So her book, her memoir is called The Art of Men.
Did you read it? Oh, it's called The Art of Men. Wow. I love this bitch. Fuck.
I know. I read it years ago and I can't really remember much of it. So I decided to take a little perusal back through it today because I remembered that there was an entire chapter on Scientology.
Oh, good work.
And something else that I need to say, you can't get mad at me for saying this. I'm saying it because this is what it says. The first chapter in the book is called The Art of... I can't even say it. The first chapter in the book is called The Art of Retarded Young Men.
Wow.
What the fuck?
That is so fucking awesome. Wait, when was the book published?
2012.
Okay, I think he was saying retarded in 2012.
I don't think we were. I mean, maybe we were in New Jersey, but I think that like if you had a book deal, you weren't supposed to be saying it by then.
Well, the really crazy thing though is like not only does that like unfortunately deeply resonate and make me want to read the book, but it's still less offensive than Chrissy Teigen mentioning Courtney Stodden's brown pea in her cookbook. So it's like, I don't know, very little offends me after that.
Okay, do you want me to start reading it? I'm going to read a little bit of it. Midway through filming Look Who's Talking To with John Travolta, we were night shooting in an airport in Vancouver. It was about 2 o'clock a.m. and it was freezing. I couldn't wait to wrap and get back to my cozy hotel room. Turns out I was 1 month pregnant and it was really hard to stay awake. I recall being so tired that if I'd fallen into the gutter and a Nazi put a Luger to my head and threatened to blow my brains out if I didn't rise, I would have told him to pull the trigger. Okay. Oh my God.
That is in the chapter of retarded men.
Listen, now we get into the. Okay. Yeah, which I was going to say, okay, opening with an imaginary Nazi scenario. Strong open, Kirstie. Mm-hmm. Strong open. Just as we were filming the last shot of the evening, an airline captain approached me. He informed me that his 20-year-old retarded son had recently taken
being
his...
literal.
Yes.
Oh, just be...
That had almost taken his life. He had been badly burned and had broken both legs and an arm. He told me his son was my number one fan and that he'd brought him to the set to meet me. He inquired as to whether it was possible right after he finished shooting that I could come into the hangar and take just a minute to meet him. Suddenly, me being pregnant and freezing my ass off didn't have much relevance. A retarded, it wasn't politically incorrect to say the word.
A retarded!
Badly burned and broken lad had traveled all the way just to meet me. Of course, I said yes. When we finally completed the final shot of the night, the director yelled, cut, print, wrap. Don escorted me to the hangar, and I set eyes on the poor, retarded, bandaged young man sitting in a wheelchair. God. Jesus Christ! I took a deep breath because he was covered in gauze and splints and was more damaged than I'd imagined. When I approached him, he began to laugh and gyrate in his wheelchair back and forth. She doesn't have sex with him, does she? He was ecstatic to meet me. There are times being... a celebrity really pays off. To bring that much joy to an individual is ... joyous. He put his bandaged hand out. I took it. He said in his retarded way, I love you.
I can't. She implies retarded voice.
I reciprocated, I love you too. He pulled me close. I wasn't even going to read this whole chapter. I thought it was like you thought, a metaphor or something like that.
No, I'm literally about to buy the book.
I know.
I'm sold. This is the best thing that you could do for her book ever.
I know. They keep saying to each other, I love you too. He proclaimed, I love you so much in the sort of half real, half anxiety ridden way you'd act if a retarded boy was mauling you. He was holding me so tightly, it was actually hurting me, but he was retarded, so I persevered. This is the words of the book. Oh my God.
I can't believe also this is the first chapter of the book. She's like, I know, I'll tell you where it all begins. It all begins with that retarded pilot's badly burned son.
Yeah. Okay. So what she's saying fuck? That she's in the set and everyone's watching the young man like hug her and freak out. And she is like waiting for someone to pull him off of her because he won't let go. I really started to flip my shit and I began tearing up. My eyes were welling and my mind was racing as I tried to pry the broken, retarded, burning, humping young man off me. My panic increased. You guys, he's going to get hurt. John, I'm pregnant. Help us. Somebody please help us. Like a bad dream of being stuck in the middle of a satanic coven. The ring of camera crew directors, John, the retarded boy's father, and everyone else began laughing like jackals. I almost fainted. Then the retarded boy leaped up and started ripping his... Sarah, holy fuck, you're going to freak out. Started ripping his bandages from his face. Was it a miracle? Had this retarded young man's love for me healed him? No, it was Woody Harrelson.
Wait. I'm sorry. Whoa.
It was wow. Woody Harrelson.
A much simpler time.
What?
This is...
Hadn't had a single clue. It was the perfect caper. He wasn't even filming in Vancouver. No, he had traveled all the way from LA just to trick me. The entire cast and crew were in on the prank. To this day, Woody and I remain excellent friends. I would do anything for Woody and he would do anything for me or to me. What? And she used the word 60 times and it turns out she was referring to Woody Harrelson.
I mean, that's retarded. If we're using it. No, it's one of those things where it's like, obviously everything about that story, especially with the kicker being that it's Woody Harrelson, is like technically so like lowbrow, disrespectful, whatever. And yet and still, again, like how I feel about her being in level 7 Kreton or whatever, Theton. Mm-hmm. I love it. Fuck.
It's
so chaotic and funny and inappropriate and, oh my God, Kirstie. And for that to be the opening chapter, it's like, yeah, it's funny to think of her sitting with a book editor and someone going, yeah, how about you put the retarded Harrelson story first? And it's like, okay.
Right. It's like, I know the book industry is competitive, but you didn't have to give all the goods away right up front,
Kirstie. I mean... I can't even imagine where the book goes from here.
All right, let's go through. I'm going to just quickly go through.
I can't believe that story. I mean, wow. Wow.
I know.
L. Kirsty. You know, I will say this. One of the things that I think is remarkable about Kirsty while you're finding the passage is that for the most part, I'm extremely triggered by like comedic actresses. It's like Anna Faris is not a comedian, you know? Right. Kirstie Alley is one of the best, genuinely best comedic actresses of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, just... so it's like she's not a comedian, but like, what a funny person.
I can't believe the name of that chapter was The Art of Retarded Young Men.
And it's actually about the art of Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Tending to be a retarded young man mauling her.
There's another.
He was doing the voice.
I know. That is absurd.
God. It is so fucked up. But I guess, also, like,
She was filming Look Who's Talking To. That was in
the
early
90s. Yeah.
That was like the height of humor back then.
100%.
We have to be honest that like.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, also, I mean, we were also like 7, so it was definitely the height of humor for us. Grown adults, I don't know. Oh. I wasn't one back then, but so, you know, we can't judge too harshly, whatever. There's another chapter called The Art of Queers, which I think I can't even get into. We're going to have to Patreon that.
I'm down, though.
Yeah. And so there's also The Art of Anal Sex.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to do a... Should I read this book and then we can discuss on the page?
I think I actually
am going to buy this book right now.
Oh, she has an entire chapter on Maxim Shmerkovsky. It's called...
What?
The Art of Max. So I guess that was before this even happened. Anyway, the Scientology one is The Art of Not Dying. And again, no one can get mad at us because we're quoting Kirstie Alley. We've made it clear we love her and respect her as a performer. Just because she was into Scientology, we're not making fun of her. People on Twitter were hating on me saying I was being disrespectful because I wrote about her own words about Scientology. Well, guess what? I think if she was here today, she would be the first to admit that she read all of Dianetics while doing coke
in Kansas. Right, that was the whole thing. Right, the reason that, like, when she became a Scientologist, she was in the middle of an overblown cocaine addiction.
Right. So, okay, the chapter is called The Art of Not Dying. The first sentence is, I'd done enough cocaine to kill several people. I weighed 112 pounds. I couldn't be anywhere comfortably. It was 1979 and I was engaged to Jake. I had the most gorgeous eternity ring full of half-carat diamonds encircling the band. We didn't have the term in 1979, but I was a hot mess. I looked sexy and cool, but I was a complete lunatic. She says so many times in this chapter how amazing she looked because she was so emaciated because of the coke. It's hilarious. This is what I really don't understand about her life and why I need to reread this book. She was already rich before she became an actress, but she was from Kansas. I don't remember how or why.
I guess, like, well, in Kansas, I guess, like, what it means to be rich is different. Like, she probably just had, like, a parent that was had a job.
Well, she was, like, she was, like, local gentry kind of thing. But, like, she was a cokehead, and she had, you know, designer jeans. She had been to L.A. a few times. She wasn't an actress yet. Like, she kind of lived a whole life before she even went to L.A. But anyway, we have to read this. We have to reread.
We're just going to read this tonight. Yeah, we're going to read it. I'm dying to. Yeah.
So, okay. She's on this cocaine binge. She drives to her friend's house 50 miles away. Another friend shows up and gives her Valium. I don't even know why she included this because it has nothing to do with anything. Then she goes home and someone gives her a copy of Dianetics, which is L. Ron Hubbard's book that's considered one of the, you know, foundational texts of Scientology, written in Bayhead, New Jersey, by the way.
Okay, flex.
I know. So she's got Dianetics and she's talking about how she used to love Jesus, but she wasn't sure. She's like, had a white bedroom, white walls, ceiling, carpet, and bath, and I draped myself on my white chaise longue with my white cocaine to read my new book, Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard. When I returned to Wichita, I did read it while I was snorting cocaine from a silver tray and drinking limeades.
Life is good.
Yeah. And then she's like, the only thing I knew about Scientology is I had driven past the Redondo Beach Scientology Center and everyone had nice cars. So I continued snorting line after line of cocaine and reading Dianetics. I began to wonder what was true, what was real. And like, it's so funny because she never really is like, maybe I shouldn't have made this like life altering decision while I was railing lines alone with a BMI of like 80.
Negative five.
Yeah. So I don't know. She goes through it and she's like, you know, she reads Dianetics. She liked it a lot. She ends up driving straight from Kansas to LA. Takes her 26 days because she has to stop for drugs along the way. This is what I'm saying. Where is this money coming from? What is going on?
Okay, well, I'm looking it up. She was an interior designer. She was a successful interior designer.
That's a fake rich lady career.
Right. I mean, it says her father owned a lumber yard. I think she was just like squarely middle class. Like, without any money, I find a way to buy drugs too. It's like, what I want to know though is just like, this is pre-cell phones, pre-internet. How was she finding the drugs?
Right. How did they do it? We'll have to have my mom on for that interview. And I mean, allegedly. And also, she's on husband number two. She's already got a divorce under her belt at this point. She is engaged a second time. I mean, I don't know how she's doing it. We could all learn something. So,
overachiever.
Seriously. She would be beyond viral on Bimbo TikTok. So she goes into how she finished reading Dianetics and she went to the Scientology Center and did a class. And she said she never did drugs again. And so now she's a devotee of Scientology.
But didn't she do drugs? Like, I feel like she had some major drug moments in the time that we knew her. And I also feel like she only had two marriages and they were both while she was famous. So I don't really get the whole timeline.
Well, she starts cheating on the fiance right now.
Oh, so they're not married yet. Right. Or fiance.
But the first husband was just in Kansas, I'm pretty sure.
Hmm.
And his name was Bob Alley.
Oh, she kept his name.
I think they had the same name. I read that somewhere in passing today. And I was like,
her father is Robert Alley.
Yeah, so for some reason, she and her husband had the same last name.
No, her husband and her father had the same name. Her father's Alley. That's Bob Alley.
What in God's name? I hope she talks about that in the book.
That's like, who just got married? Taylor Lautner just married someone else. His name is Taylor L. So now they're both Taylor Lautner.
So weird.
So funny.
So weird and funny. Okay, Alley meets Alley. They get married. They get divorced. Now she is engaged to this other guy. She's cheating on him with a drug dealer in LA. She's already read Dianetics by this point, but she goes to the Scientology Center and she takes a class and she says she never did drugs again. She maintains that, like, her big thing, this whole chapter in the book, like I said, it's from 2012. Tom Cruise's viral "you're being glib, Matt" moment when he said that Brooke Shields was irresponsible for taking medication for her postpartum depression. That was in 2005. So most of this chapter is devoted, after she gets into the drug backstory and how she started in Scientology, she basically just talks about Scientology's perspective on drugs for a while. And she's like,
can you button it up for us? Remember what it is?
Yeah. So basically she is like, Scientology is complete 180 from psychiatry. They are complete opposite.
Hilarious.
I know. It's like,
very funny. Okay. I don't know if I would lead with that, but okay.
Yeah. She's like, she says they believe in the diagnoses, but they don't believe in the amount of prescriptions. They believe that doctors are over prescribing people. And they believe that a lot of these pharmacological solutions can precipitate violent events later down the road. And it's like, okay, you know, having lived in Europe now for 4 years, I would say America is overprescribing.
Definitely.
Just about every drug.
Our medicine system has kind of like butt-fucked itself because, like, the reason that like anti-vax and like the whole vaccine craze was so controversial is because big pharma has become such an enemy of the people in this. It's like we've sort of like married science and business. And so now everybody's kind of confused about like what is being done from like an altruistic medical helpful sense versus like, is America just getting everybody hooked on drugs so that big pharma and the government gets paid?
Right. And also like doing speed is fun. So let me say I need it to clean my house because it's always going to be better to clean your house on speed.
Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, I get where I think being a super skinny cokehead in Texas as an interior designer married to someone with your father's name, it's like on some level, it's like, it's good as it's going to get.
Wait, what does that have to do with the pharmaceuticals?
Well, it's not like pharmaceuticals, but it's just like drugs. Like, it's like, okay, you can have a problem with Big Pharma, Kirstie, but it's like, you don't have a problem with drugs.
Right. Like, and she
and like, there
really...
might be some drugs that, like, I think it's just so hard because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, of course, prescription drugs are super easy to use and abuse. They also save people's lives. So it's kind of like everybody needs to be a responsible adult and take many approaches to healing their souls.
Exactly. It's such a fine line between like medical treatment and abuse. And, you know, it's just funny living somewhere where they don't have Adderall. Like, it's literally not a thing here. Like, everyone functions fine without it.
Correct.
You know, it's like, nobody's like, the country,
nobody's like itching. No one needs it to finish their homework.
The wheels aren't falling off the country, you know, and like Xanax and things like that. Also, like, no one smokes weed here and everyone does coke. So weird cultural things, you know.
Is there still violence?
Yeah, but it's with like machetes and stuff.
Okay, I almost would rather have a violent Adderall psychotic outburst from Britney slamming her, you know, umbrella into a windshield than be slashed with a sober machete. So I don't know. Take your pick. Pick your poison.
I know, but it's the gun thing. Like, sometimes when I'm in the store, I'm like, I don't have to worry about a mass shooting, but like, a guy could come in with a machete. I don't even know what that is. But also,
dude, a machete is like the most manual and obvious. Like, how does anybody get away with doing public violent crimes with a machete? I feel like there's no way to be discreet with a machete.
I know. There was a guy like a couple years ago in London who killed like 3 people at a supermarket with a machete.
What? That's insane.
I know. Anyway.
That could be the cocaine. I want to say, though, if maybe prescription drugs would help. I think that is a very cocaine sort of vibe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Another thing, that's the other thing. Like, yeah, no one has Adderall here, but, like, the amount of cocaine that is done, maybe it's because people are desperately in search of Adderall. I don't know. You know, I don't know the answers. I don't know what's good. I don't know what's bad.
This is a machete.
It's a machete. It's like a sword. It's just a sword. Yeah.
You'd have to be, like, walking around with it on, like, a belt clip.
Yeah, right. Or, like,
it wouldn't even fit in a backpack. This is bigger than any laptop that's ever been made.
Like, He-Man, like, I have the power, like, you pull it out of your, really weird. But yeah, she also has a really convenient theory about drugs in this chapter, because she's like, oh, I used Valium to help me taper off of coke when I was on a big bender right before I discovered Scientology. And then later on, she's like, you know, we don't like to prescribe medication for these things, but Valium is okay because it's short term. And it's like, okay, sure.
I'm sure there's a couple people that would tell you that Valium ruined their lives, so like, just ignore them.
Right, it's short term if you can keep it short term. Like,
right,
which I don't know. So maybe those incidents you're talking about where she appeared maybe not to be fully with it, maybe those were short term Valium incidents.
Which case counts as a prescription drug. It's short term.
Yeah, totally fine.
Fabulous.
Totally cool. She also says in this chapter that she talks about electroshock therapy and lobotomies as proof that Scientology is the right way to handle mental health crises.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have to read this book. I mean, what a reach.
It's like, what? But she says at the time of this writing, 100,000 people per year were given electroshock therapy, which was rebranded to ECT. But I mean, again, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. But yeah, she's basically like, Scientology, you reach deep within yourself to help with your addictions and your issues. She says the first school, like pharmaceuticals, has concluded that these diseases are genetic and or problems of chemical imbalances in the brain, such as low serotonin levels. Because their assumptions are based on the body itself, their solution is to first treat the body with talk therapy and powerful mind-altering drugs that can affect brain chemistry. If that doesn't work, it's on to electroshock. And as a last resort, a lobotomy, currently called psychosurgery. It's like,
I would rather have an antidepressant than lobotomy, for sure.
Yeah, she's saying, like, if you go down the pharmaceutical path, it ends in lobotomy.
Oh,
yeah, and it's like,
yeah, give me an example, Kirstie. I would like a few case studies of who's been lobotomized when SSRIs just didn't do the trick.
Right. Like post 1980 at least. I mean, they did used to do it. One of JFK's sisters was lobotomized because they couldn't deal. They didn't want her to be like embarrassing the family, allegedly.
I just realized something. You know why she might have had money?
Why?
Well, it's okay. I'm looking at this thing right now. It says that she started doing cocaine when she divorced her first husband, who has the same name as her father, Bob Alley. Mm-hmm. And she might have gotten money in the divorce.
That's what it has to be.
Right. Yeah.
Because she also has like the fucking what the fuck is this brand name that she talks about? It's not Ferragamo jeans. It's these really, really trendy late 70s, early 80s jeans that she's got on when she arrives at the Scientology Center. It's like, yeah, she was rich. Like, she was living like a rich lady. And she still, like I said, had not been in Hollywood yet. So
that's, yeah, it must have really been the divorce settlement.
Yeah. But so, okay, she doesn't really explain what actually they do. Okay, she goes, then we have a school of thought that's 180 degrees opposite, and that school is called Scientology. You see people with the same disorders come through the doors with their multitudes of manifestations. But what happens within is different. Mr. Hubbard, that's the guy who wrote Dianetics, has no dispute with the various bazillion diagnoses within the pages of DSM. He believes in anxiety, depression, blah, 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 blah. But he believes people can be made better, dramatically better, without drugs, without analysis, and without psychosurgery or ECT. Seems impossible, right? The function of Scientology churches is to make the able more able. They are not rehab facilities for criminals or predators. There is a social betterment program called Criminon based on the writings of L. Ron Hubbard and geared to help rehabilitate criminals in prison, but it is not part of the church.
That's sort of ridiculous. So it's like, okay, not part of the church is a little bit like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, I don't know. It's sort of, it's like, okay, but for the record, anything L. Ron Hubbard leads... Okay, maybe it's not part of, like, what you do in the church, but right. If it's an L. Ron Hubbard program, Zap, whatever, they're a Scientology program.
Right, and, I mean, it's like Will and Jada saying their school wasn't a Scientology school. Like, it was. Mm-hmm. It was a Scientology school. Mm-hmm. And she also says that, oh, the other thing about Scientology is they use the same, basically the same thing as Catholicism, confession. You hold those two things and you say right. Everything you've done wrong, but they record it. So the theory is people think they use that to blackmail you, and that's how they get all these people to stay, because
makes sense to me.
Yeah, but that's not confirmed. She also had a bad therapist once. I'd gone to a psychologist for about a month before I read Dianetics. His best advice was to stop doing cocaine and do manual labor like cleaning my house and mowing the yard. It's kind of like a Jordan Peterson 1.0 type thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's bad advice, because those are two things that are specifically easier when you're on blow.
That's so true. Yeah, exactly. That's, yep.
Tell her to meditate.
Hole in the theory. He also advised staying away from my mother for a while, which is hilarious. I immediately did all those things. If it was her mom, her plug or something. I immediately did all those things and felt better. On subsequent visits, though, he began to analyze me and tell me why I was the way I was. And he lost me. It didn't help that he was wearing socks with sandals. And it really didn't help that his evaluation was dead wrong. No, I hadn't been molested or wanted to screw my dad, nor was I a bedwetter.
Well, you did marry someone named Bob Alley, Kirstie.
Like, he didn't just pull that out of his ass. But the other thing is, like, also during this time period, I think the late 70s into the 80s, kind of, people were psychiatrists were starting to do that sort of, recovered memory type therapy, which has been debunked. So I wonder, like, it's possible that this therapist was a quack. I mean, there's so many quack therapists out there.
And she's like who knows what kind of, I mean, anybody listening from Wichita, Kansas, I have no idea. This is not a judgment, but I will say that, like, I'm not sure that that's where, like, the leading, like, psychological minds are going to do this work, you know?
Right. Fiorucci, the genes were Fiorucci.
Yeah. Oh my God, Fiorucci.
Yeah. So she says, my weight was 112. Again, she says it again. And I was 5'8". I'll admit, if you didn't look at my glassy dilated eyes, just from the neck down, I looked badass in my skin-tight Fiorucci jeans and 5-inch heels. But my mind and spirit were dead as dirt.
I'd take it.
Yeah, I would say that also. I would write that in my memoir. I'd be like,
listen. I would write it 1,000 times.
Yeah, you
I was 5'8 and 112 pounds.
Yeah,
you Everybody had to remember me that way.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'd be like, you really had to see. Like, yes, I was in a manic episode in this post-breakup. Kim Kardashian's triggering me right now because she's so clearly in...
Not eating food
and in that post-breakup place, which, like... Yeah. I look back at pictures of myself after my last breakup before I started dating Nick, and I was like skeletal and I looked like such an idiot. I was dressing like I was 16 and I was like posting all these like faces on Instagram, like posting pictures on Instagram where I have like that fucking blow up doll face, like I'm and that smiling, and I look back now and I'm like, oh my god, this was such a cry for help. I'm sure all my friends were like, is Molly gonna be okay, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have the same thing. Like, there's like a series of pictures that Desi and I have. I think I said this, but we met up in Florida in like 2018. We were both going through like a really hard time, and we both were like stick thin, and we bought these like matching bikinis from Marshalls or whatever, and I did these like photo shoots on the beach for hours. When you look back at the pictures, they look fucking horrible.
Yeah,
and our skin is both like gray. It's like, ooh.
And like desperate, like you can feel the desperation, and that's why it like.
But that's how Kim feels to me too. Kim, I am having trouble. Then like, well, we can do it on the Patreon. We can talk about it later. But Kim and North's TikToks really make my blood boil. I'm so turned off by them.
It feels dark.
Dark.
And everything is dark now with the Kardashians, with Kanye, obviously, who we disavow, like, even though we were both stans for way too long.
We tried to stand so long, but I mean, that's, it goes to show you, though, that's why I think you can also see where I would get stuck in toxic relationships for too long, you know, because it's like, I want so badly to not surrender to the fact that this person might be an asshole.
Same. I do that too. I make excuses for everyone. Like, I mean, when he said he had to take 10 showers after he broke up with Amber Rose, that should have been the end for me.
I know.
Like, he hated women always, and I made excuses for that. And then, like, he gets mad at a group I'm not even a part of, and that's when I'm like, this is beyond the pale. Like, what kind of fucking masochist am I?
Yeah, but the reason now it's different is because, I mean, the whole thing is that, like, truth be told, astrologically, like, World War II, like, the Holocaust happened while the nodes were in Taurus and Scorpio, and the astrology is not that dissimilar. So it's like, aside from like Kanye now leading the Nazi party as the leading white supremacist in the United States somehow, it's like the fear is like, is there another Hitler that's going to emerge? And like, I don't know, could they target a different group? I don't know. I guess it's like Jews gotta go. Like,
someone slightly more palatable take up the mantle of what Kanye has started. It's wild. And I'm embarrassed, and I have to say, everyone, like, my cousin Rory, I actually, like, borderline ruined one day of her bachelorette party because I got in such a big fight with her friend about whether Kanye is an asshole or not. It was probably, like, 2013, and I was like, no, he's misunderstood. Like,
I feel
you don't
I've been
understand.
Saying the same thing.
I know! But also, I will stand by him stealing the VMA from Taylor was hilarious.
Again, like Kirsty, and look.
And helped her more than it hurt her.
Oh, totally. And like the fucked up thing is like, so the difference is like, I'm Jewish and I'm doing everything in jest. But a lot of like the shitty stuff he said on Alex Jones, I actually used to do jokes of the same line of thinking. But like, I'm obviously joking, whereas he's like not joking. Right. It's like, yes, obviously Hitler was a very good leader. Yeah, no shit. Like, he led an entire country into mass genocide. But like, that's never the goal.
Well, it was the goal. That
and I don't
know.
But I guess that's my question. We'll talk about it on the Patreon, but it's like, is that Kanye's goal? Does he want to lead this? Is he hoping that there's a mass genocide of the Jews? And how does he not know that that's what he's like creating with all of his rhetoric?
Right. All these people who are like, oh, like they're trying to prove him right by saying, not that many people, just a few people on the internet, mostly anonymously because they know it's fucked up, are being like, well, you know, you can tell it's all true because this is the one group you can't talk about. And it's like, no, this is the one group you can't talk about because it's the one group that in like recent collective Western memory was fucking murdered on a mass scale with a genocide. And yes, there are other genocides going on as we speak, and there have been since then, but I'm talking in Europe, in the Western world. Like, that's why we have a pretty low tolerance for this. Our grandparents fought in that war or were in the fucking camps. Like,
right.
Because there's a secret control going on and they flip a switch about it.
Right. It's because there are still Holocaust survivors living to this day who we are spending the rest of their lives making it up to. It's like the most traumatic thing imaginable. And it's also scary because, like, to be fair, it's not the only group. If he replaced Jews with any other, okay, Kim's Armenian. If he started being like, yeah, all the Armenians are satanic, it would still be a problem. Right. You can't like the whole idea of like blanket generalizing a group of people, ethnic or racial or whatever, is completely asinine. There's no benefit of it at all.
Yeah, I don't think he even has a goal. I think he's just trying to push as far as he can to look like the biggest contrarian that ever lived. And
yeah, I agree, actually. And the other thing, too, is, okay, we were talking about this off mic the other day, and then we can get back to Kirstie, but it's like, you posted something that was like, I think it's fair to say, like, this isn't a manic episode. He is just a total asshole. And I will say this, I still think it could be a manic episode. And the only reason that I say that is because, actually, now this person I'm about to talk about is famous because of his devout support of the, I guess, so maybe I'm not actually helping my case here, but his devout support of NXIVM leader Ranieri, whatever his name is.
Oh,
Keith Ranieri. So now this guy, Mark, is a major advocate for Ranieri, and he says that he healed his Tourette's. James, my ex-boyfriend, knew him from high school, and one day Mark was doing a speech on Martha's Vineyard when we were
wait his name's
there.
Mark
well it was Mark but it was Mark
why you is know. It Mark
well I'm not again I, I'm well he had Tourette's is the thing, but everybody called him Mark. I don't know if it was because he had Tourette's, but that was his nickname either way. So it's okay, we started this podcast talking about retarded men that were actually Woody Harrelson, so I feel like now all bets are off. But anyway, the bottom line is he was like this like super sweet, like kind of nerdy, but cute, like really lovely person, except that when he would have a Tourette's, I don't even know what you call it. Oh my God, your hair looks so good. When he would have a Tourette's flare up, he would say the most insulting racist shit.
Right, but that's not what bipolar is.
Well, I know. I'm just saying that like I think when your subconscious takes the reins and like you're not actually fully, I don't even know how
he's
to put
functioning
it.
Enough to, he paid Milo Yiannopoulos $116,000 to consult on his presidential campaign. He's functioning right now.
Yeah, but you don't think that's like a manic choice?
Yeah, but like he's able to go to the bank, get the money out. Like he's not a crazy guy on the subway platform. You know what I mean? And like, if he was just like, and it's lasted for so long, I don't think that like really, you know, I know people in my family that are like bipolar, and it's like to latch onto hatred of one group is not a hallmark. Do you know what I mean? Like it's more like just, it wouldn't be, he's sitting there and he's coming across completely clear-headed and saying these things, like he's thinking hard about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like he's really sitting there and going through it in his head and being like, he's applying logic to like why it's okay for him to say this and why it's a conspiracy against him.
Right. Well, but that's the thing. But like, how, I guess I don't understand where, well, I guess we can talk about it later. I know you have to go, but it's like your hair is coming out fucking gorgeous. Molly has giant rollers in. Okay.
I probably look like Kirstie Alley in the 80s.
I was going to say, this is actually a perfectly Kirstie Alley aesthetic.
Oh my God. And Drop Dead Gorgeous.
I was going to ask you, like, what are your top favorite? Like, Drop Dead Gorgeous might be, it's at least top three favorite movies of all time. It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life.
It's in my top five for sure.
And it's top five for sure. And it holds up. Like, if you watch it to this day, it is absolutely a genius comedy phenom.
I love it so much. It's so dark and so fucked up. I mean,
but it's so fucking funny. Like, so I don't mind dark and fucked up when it's genuinely funny.
I prefer it. I prefer it. To be
like,
clear.
If you got jokes. If you got jokes, go there. If you don't have jokes, shut the fuck up. But if you got jokes, try them.
I was saying that as a good thing, not as like, well, no, it's dark, beyond. But I like it. No, the dark, that's the appeal of it.
Oh my God, your hair looks so good.
Thank you.
Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to a work Christmas party night. It's not my work, it's someone else's. But the theme of this Christmas party is 1970s New York.
Oh, how on brand. This is in honor of Kirstie.
But it's also so funny because I'm like, I think they mean Studio 54, but 1970s New York is like cocaine, porn in Times Square.
Right.
Panic in Needle Park.
You're going to go there with a needle sticking out of your arm, ready to party.
Yeah, am I 70s enough? That's Iggy Pop. It's so funny. It's very clear that it was a European that came up with the theme.
Very cute.
But yeah, I'm going to assume they meant Studio 54. So I'm doing sort of the voluminous.
I think that's the safest assumption.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. What can you tell me about Kirstie Alley's astrology in a pretty quick manner, unfortunately, because I do have to go to my heroin party soon. I think she's got to have a lot of Leo. The only thing I can think of is Leo, Leo, Leo. She is the most leonine. Even her face is Leo. So that's my only guess. Tell me what it is. And she's got to have some Capricorn and Taurus because the girl was jobless, wearing Fiorucci jeans and blowing lines. That's the girl who likes her creature comforts, I would say, and knows how to get them. So,
and who doesn't?
Yeah, I've got to say Leo with a lot of earth.
So Kirstie Alley is a Capricorn sun.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Very good work. And a Pisces moon conjunct her north node in Pisces.
We're twins.
In a way, yeah. When I saw the chart, I was like, oh, I love this. And you also have the same Venus. So her Venus is also in Aquarius. Her Mars is in Aquarius. What's really fascinating is that Kirstie Alley's Chiron is at what we call the galactic center. It's basically the sun.
Sounds like a Scientology.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Clearwater, Florida.
I was going to say, actually, anytime you read about Scientology, I just want to be like, hey, astrology does kind of cover these bases and the ancients used it. It's not just this guy, Elron, it's sort of go to astrology first. But her Chiron is at the galactic center at 27 degrees. So anybody in your chart, if you have anything at a very late degree of Sagittarius in this moment in time, it sort of moves very slowly. Our solar system is moving, but the galactic center is basically it's thought to be a very highly concentrated divine energetic portal. So, we are orbiting the sun. Our galaxy is orbiting the galactic center.
Okay.
So this is the sun. It's known as the spiritual sun in the sky. So her wound is exactly on this galactic center, and her Mercury is very nearby at 1 degree Capricorn, which I think is why not only is she able to talk about her addiction and her problems in a way that doesn't scare people away or terrify them. But I also think it's
because she was hot the whole time.
Well, but it's also because there's a lot in her chart that's very hot, but it's I think part of why she's a very good actor is because she sort of, when she communicates on some level, she's expressing the collective pain. And so she's super, even though she's super hot and a Scientologist cokehead, she's super relatable for some reason.
Yes.
And I think that's part of why. And I think what's fascinating is on her day of departure from this earth, on her death day, Mercury was exactly conjunct the galactic center. So it's almost like the messenger. And what is Mercury? Mercury is the messenger god of communication, that is the only one of the sort of mythological planetary archetypes that's able to travel between the underworld and the above ground world. It sort of is how we connect to both the as below, as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It's like Mercury came through, hit her Chiron on the galactic center, and sort of just the communication just kind of, it's almost like it was like, okay, now like go to the other dimension.
Yeah.
I'll walk with you to the other dimension, girl.
So where's her Leo? Do we not know because we don't have her birth time?
The only thing that we know that she has Leo in her chart is her Pluto, which, not for nothing, her Pluto is exactly opposite her Mars. So what does that mean? It means that she does kind of carry this incredibly powerful sexuality that is almost like, with all the Aquarius too, it's like almost like otherworldly. And so, but she actually doesn't
have...
She is
otherworldly.
But it is. She is one of the sexiest people that's ever lived. I love her.
Yeah, me too. Her first big role was in Star Trek, a Star Trek thing, as like a sexy alien woman.
Wow. Also, did you see what my name is, what I put my name to be?
Look Who's Talking Jew. Yeah, I really liked that. Oh, that's a good, that's apt. I mean, that could be your first special.
Oh my God. Well, could it be the name? I guess we shouldn't title that. Nobody's going to click it. Nobody's searching Look Who's Talking Jew, but it is kind of going to be
learning.
The subtitle.
He's learning.
I know, I'm learning SEO. I know, it's the new man. I knew about it. But anyway, it's my little joke I want everybody to know. I'm Look Who's Talking Jew. But anyway, yeah, so you and Kirstie Alley have the exact same North Node. And the other interesting thing that I wanted to say on behalf of you before you go, Kirstie Alley's sun is in Capricorn, her moon and her North Node are in Pisces. What's interesting too, if I had to guess beforehand, what I would have guessed, I kind of have always thought she was a Pisces for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like she sort of has Piscean energy to me. But what
the
I will
hair.
Say is, yeah, you know, the hair, the voice, like she is just sort of like ethereal, you know? But what I think is interesting that I think you'll relate to in the Kirstie Alley psychological saga. Now, your moon is not in Pisces, but your rising is in your North Node, where the conflict between Pisces and Capricorn is one where there's a tension present that it's like a creative tension that there's a creative tension between things being like Capricorn really serious versus Pisces, nothing is real.
Yeah.
I think that's where the Scientology comes in. It's where the drug addiction comes in. It's where the escapism into food comes in. It's where the, you know, it's sort of like she actually knows her power. She knows how serious her ego and persona and image is. But then she needs to like cut it with something. No pun intended. But it's like there's sort of this desire to like cut the heaviness, the seriousness with I get where she would have mega creative breakthroughs, do some really weird religious shit, and like be addicted to whatever in whatever way, even if it's Scientology that she was addicted to at the end, because there's such a heavy weight on her shoulders with all the Capricorn and Aquarius that it's almost like that Pisces moon is a little bit like, you know what, nothing's real. Reminder, nothing's real. It's why Scientology is actually appealing to her, because she's like, nothing's real anyway.
Yeah, she had a beef with Maxim Shmerkovsky in the last few months, because when Ukraine happened, she tweeted like, I can't tell what's real and what's not. This is so crazy and weird. Like, and because she was a Trump supporter too. She was like full MAGA in the last few years. So like she kind of was being like, oh, is Russia invading? Like she was like, I'll just pray for people either way. And Maxim Shmerkovsky responded on Instagram and was like, Kirstie, I know that you're better than this and you are a good friend of mine. So I'm really surprised at you. Please understand that people are like dying and
my family.
Yeah, exactly. And he did post a tribute to her today. So obviously they buried the hatchet, but
I think, well, even if they didn't bury the hatchet, I think it's a good reminder too that like, you know, you don't have to have the same beliefs as everybody that you love. You do need to be able to have the dialogue where you say, hey, I'm upset about if you're ignoring the fact that my family is being slaughtered.
Right.
That's hard for me, but you're not just that.
Right. And like they had done relief work together before for Hurricane Sandy. And he basically was like, how is it possible that the person who stood next to me and loaded trucks for Hurricane Sandy doesn't understand that this is real? But like that goes to what you're saying, like not understanding
Pisces.
Reality versus, yeah, and just being so, I mean, I'm so mutable in that way as a Pisces rising.
Yes.
Like if you, I feel like I have such a grip on facts and logic. And then at the same time, like, if I'm standing next to someone who has a completely different point of view and they just say it loud enough, I'm like, oh my God, I was wrong about everything I've ever thought in my life. And you know what I mean? Like, it's
totally.
I totally get that whole Pisces thing. And
well, because that's the thing with Pisces.
Maddening.
It's sort of, well, it's sort of like it's like the fullness of everything. And therefore it's also nothing. So it's like, that's where it's like, logic and reason actually do only get us so far, whereas what Pisces represents is sort of the eternal, we are one, and it's intuition, it's spiritual truth, it's deeper truth. Like for Kirstie Alley, she doesn't really care about like the reality as much as she cares about her reality, which for Pisces is truly oftentimes riddled in a world of make-believe. And I want to say, quick amendment, I said something wrong in the Lindsay Lohan episode and I want to take it back.
Oh.
She is meant to be a movie star, because as I was sort of looking at Kirstie Alley's chart too, Pisces, what does Pisces represent? It is filmmaking. It is make-believe. It is acting. It is the arts. Because Pisces is, I mean, Pisces is arguably, at its best, it's like the most one love, highest intuition, highest knowledge sign. Also, it is complete and total bullshit, because it's sort of just like, it's like at the edge of dying and being reborn into Aries. So it's sort of like it knows too much to know that anything's anything.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have to leave because I have to find a 1970s outfit. I'm sorry that I was a very depressed Pisces this weekend. That's why we didn't get any other episodes out. But now I'm totally great. Maybe I'm bipolar. You know, these are the things that we have to think about. And I'm
but
not
do
joking.
You like the Jews?
I'm a big fan of
the
most
mentally
of them.
Well
no,
to
just
me.
Kidding.
Most of them. Look, that's fair. 100%. And I don't like all any people.
No, I do like all Jews. I actually am on the borderline of like fetishizing. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, don't say it's a group that you're not a part of. Like, if there were any communities that the Jews are a part of that you are a part of, it would be like everything that you're involved in are where the Jews are.
I know. Well, that's why I said last week, when you say that Jews control the media, you're partaking in Molshine erasure. And
absolutely.
I'm offended by that, because my family exists too, and we control the media.
No, and Molshine erasure now.
Yeah. All right. That was great. Join our Patreon, Patreon.
Pisces in the house. Patreon.com/Space Trash Podcast. And honestly, I'm getting fabulous reviews on our last episode. The more we coach, the better. People are
I
like,
know.
That was, everyone is saying to me, like, Molly's the most relatable character of all time. And everything that you were saying was like, it was so helpful to me. Like, honestly, everybody was so thankful that we got so real on the Patreon. So definitely check it out.
Yeah,
we talk about the moment of time that we're in sort of energetically, and we let it all hang out.
We did let it all hang out. Yeah, we did. It was a little depressing. I felt a little bit like, should we post this? Because it's really me complaining, which I...
No, I've never gotten better feedback on any episode we've ever done.
Well, I'm like a little bit of a baby and a brat. And as long as I paywall it so that people are like taking it in voluntarily, I feel okay about it. And
well,
I'm trying
like,
to...
If it's paywall, it's because if people buy in, it's because they like us enough to want to know the wholeness of us.
Right. Like, I'm going to put on a brave face for the... public facing content and not complain too much. But then once the paywall is there, I mean, that's my Meghan and Harry on Netflix, where I'm just gonna be like,
absolute.
Everyone mistreats me and it's time you heard it from me.
I mean, I want to say, like, we haven't discussed this, but okay, so that comes out on Thursday. I would say stay tuned this weekend. We're gonna have to talk about it.
Oh my God, I know.
Do not fucking wait.
Dude, I know. I can't wait either. And you know what's crazy? Like, every time I hear them talk about it, I become more on their side. And then when I hear someone else talk about it, I'm like, because then also, if you look at the, there's this big thing going on Twitter right now. And this is something good to leave everybody on and just see what everyone's thoughts are. I really want to know what people think. In the teasers that have been dropping for the Meghan and Harry show, they have all these photo montages of the paparazzi. And all of these photos of the photographers are from completely unrelated events that have nothing to do with Meghan and Harry. So they have a picture of like all these photographers while they're like talking about how they've been chased by the media. It's a picture of a Harry Potter premiere.
Wait, they're using like stock photography or just like lifting other images and pretending that's outside of their house?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
I know. It's funny because it's on the line because, I mean, like stock photography would be like a picture of a camera. This is actual Getty images of like other events being covered. And one of them was Katie Price, Jordan from the UK, walking into like a child custody hearing or something.
Oh,
and like all
God.
The photographers shooting her. Because the thing that I always say that's like sort of slippery with them is like the paparazzi didn't follow them when they were in the UK. They don't follow royal family members. Like maybe once in a while someone will, but those photos will not get published in the UK. There's no market for them because after Diana died, they put forth new like press guidelines and they're not allowed to do that anymore. So they're taking these pictures and then this other one that shows a photographer shooting them from above. This guy retweeted it today and he was like, I cannot believe that this is being put across as if it was some sort of invasive photography. They invited us to this event to shoot pictures of them going into Archbishop Desmond Tutu's house from this exact vantage point. And now they're using a picture of a respected photojournalist who was invited to shoot from there and making it as if he was spying on them.
But that's where it's like, was that Meghan and Harry or was that the director?
They 100% have final cut on all the promo materials. Like, there's
Are we sure that they knew that the direct? I mean, I guess they knew that the crowds weren't there, so like right. They know it's not their crowd.
They know it's not their crowd, and I mean, but then the other argument is like, well, they're just using it to illustrate a story, and it's like, okay, but is the story true? And like,
do it animated, make it animated,
right? And they
have like a sort of multimedia doc,
right? And it just seems like they have so many legitimate beefs that they could absolutely complain about and have everyone on their side. Why do you need to pad it out with stuff that's a little faked? You know what I mean? Like,
whoa,
you don't need to
see it in action. We're going to need to see it in action on Thursday, but then we will discuss this weekend after we watch, because I'm very curious about the context with which these photos were used.
I don't even know if they'll make it into the documentary. They could just be for the trailer.
Oh yeah. But even worse in a way, even it's still, like, why would you guys call this a pod yourself?
Why would you? I mean, yeah. And maybe they didn't sign off on it, and it is probably fair, but it's just funny because it's like the teaser, and already people are like, wait, what? This isn't real.
It doesn't help them. It like begs this larger question in general with them, which is like, why are they doing what they're doing?
Exactly. They are their own worst enemies. Like, Everyone was rooting for them. So everyone, read Kirstie Alley's memoir, please. I mean, I think we need to go through it chapter by chapter, personally. We already did the first one.
I cannot wait.
the Art of Our Slurred Young Men. Jesus Christ. And then we'll go through the rest of them. Maybe we'll paywall it. Maybe we'll let the world hear it. And RIP, Arsler IP, Kirstie Alley.
Arsler, retarded in peace.
That's not okay. I think it is okay because she said
we're
it.
Quoting her.
Say it. Once again, we're quoting her. Yeah. So, okay, everyone, we love you. And watch the new Harry and Meghan show. We're gonna have thoughts on that.
And we'll be back tomorrow with an all-new Patreon where we talk about Kim's current fashion, whatever, and a bunch of other shit.
Why is she wearing motocross pants? We're going to try to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, man. Damn.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, bye.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.